A woman worthy of praise. All of you ladies are looking at the passage, Proverbs 31, and you're saying, oh, great. Every time Proverbs 31 is mentioned, I feel like a flop. Like, good night. I mean, this woman is just amazing. And she is. Probably the reason she's so amazing is I really don't believe she exists. There is no indication that this passage is talking about any real person. Might be, but doesn't say. But it seems to indicate to us that it's just kind of giving us a list of character qualities that women should seek after to develop in their lives. Young women should be seeking to develop these qualities, and of course, adult women. And then it talks about teenagers and husbands rising up and calling the wives and mothers in our families blessed. But I mean, just to read the characteristics, it can be depressing at times. It's kind of like the little 2-foot doll that I have. I carry him every once in a while to couples conferences that we may do. And he's entitled The Perfect Man. And all the women at these couples conferences love this perfect man, because all you have to do is just squeeze, I don't know if it's his toe or his hand, I don't remember exactly what it is, but this guy says some wonderful things. I mean, you squeeze it and he says, honey, don't you need a new pair of shoes? And then he squeezes it again and says, listen, if you'd like to go to the mall, I'd just be glad to follow along after you and just shop as long as you want to and just carry your bags. Another one says, you punch it and it says, honey, I don't care who keeps the remote. You just make the choice. Now, is this guy a perfect man or what? Well, that's probably the way we tend to look at Proverbs 31. But these obviously are characteristics that for a lady could be something good to shoot for, something good to say, this is something that I want to add to my life or subtract from my life. I've called it a woman worthy of praise. We want to look at her character, we want to look at her home life, and then we want to look at her spiritual life. So we won't be studying every verse of this passage, but I do want to pick up a verse 10 and read through the end of the chapter. But we'll be focusing on verses 25 to 31. So read with me as I look at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Now that's not take art restaurants either. That's not what they're talking about there. She riseth up also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I want to notice, first of all, verses 25 and 26 that seem to be describing her character. It talks about strength and honor are her clothing. And this appears to be a strength of character, and not necessarily just physical strength, although we see that she is described in verse 17 as a woman that is developing the strength to be able to do what she has to do to carry on her responsibilities. But verse 25 seems to be talking about strength of character, being the type of person that because of her character, it says she will rejoice in time to come. And one of the translations for that is that she will smile at the future. She will smile at the future. In other words, because she is well prepared for herself and for her family, whatever takes place in the future, she is prepared. Her character has been developed so that whatever happens, whatever they face as a family, she's ready. And obviously that has to be a character development that comes over time. And then we see that it says that her husband rises up and praises her. And I think, basically, we'll talk about this a little bit later, I think the husbands are to set the example of rising up and praising our wives. Then our children, seeing how we do it, men, are able to follow our example and praise their moms. This is so vitally important that our young people learn how to praise mom. And dads, we're the ones that carry that responsibility, that opportunity, really, as they see us thanking mom for supper and thanking mom for what she's done and just showing appreciation. We are showing our young people how to do that. And so it kind of gives us the idea that's what's in mind. Now, notice it says they rise up and call her blessed. You see that in verse 28? Children rise up and call her blessed. Circle the word blessed. It is also translated guide in chapter 23 and verse 19. Guide, the word guide. And so it's almost like they can say that they will rise up and call her our guide. Now that's significant. Significant. Because you see, moms, you often are the guide for your children. Your children are watching your lives. They're listening to your prayers. And so many times we are hearing testimonies of folks that got saved and gave their lives to the Lord. And so many times they will talk about the prayers of their mother. Let me tell you something. Never, ever negate your ministry of prayer, ladies. What an awesome ministry it is. And the Bible says that it will have the effect of becoming the guide for your children. And so the question is, can your children and teenagers say that you have been a godly guide? I trust that they can. And if you are a child or a teenager in a home where your mom has been a godly guide, I trust that you'll take the time and just thank her for being a godly guide, because when she's gone, you can't say that anymore. My mom is gone. Love to be able to say some things to my mom and just show appreciation, but she's with the Lord now. When she's gone, it's too late. You can't say anything. Take the opportunity every day to thank your mom. Rise up and call her blessed. Because if her character is godly, encourage it. Because there are times that moms get discouraged. There are times that moms just begin to wonder, is anything working? Is it ever going to come out? And on we go. And so husbands and children, be sure to encourage each other to compliment mom's character. Now, we notice that it says, she shall rejoice in time to come. Last part of verse 25. See, godliness and joyfulness are joined in her heart. Godliness and then joyfulness are together in her heart. Reminds me of Nehemiah 8:10 that says, the joy of the Lord is her strength. And ladies, so many times when you lack the emotional strength, maybe the spiritual strength, maybe even the physical strength that you need, go back to the Word of God, get back in the Word, and simply say, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. It is not the joy of the circumstances. It's not the joy of everybody's responses. It's the joy of the Lord that becomes your strength. And so we see the godliness and joyfulness are joined together. And so once we begin to understand that, we begin to notice the next point. There is only joy when there is peace. When there's peace. In other words, moms and ladies, when you have peace in your heart, then there's joy. Notice how I've put it this way. If there's no God in your life, then there's no peace. But if you know God, then you know peace. Now, that's not original with me. But boy, that's something great to remember, isn't it? No God, no peace. No God, no peace. And ladies, don't become so busy in your responsibilities. And we see in this chapter, it just seems like your responsibilities are from can to can't. Amen? Sun up to sundown and even after that. But don't be so busy that you don't take time to get to know God. Know God and you'll know peace. Then it says in verse 26, as we continue looking at her character, she opens her mouth with wisdom. She's sharing wisdom that comes, first of all, I think, from the fear of God. Notice it says in verse 30, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. All the way through the book of Proverbs, you'll see that expression, to fear the Lord, to put him in such awe and such a place of prominence and significance in your life, ladies. And when you do that, that becomes the foundation of what you're able to share with your lips. Then notice the sharing of wisdom with those that have a teachable spirit, or sharing instruction with those who don't. There's a difference there. Now, some of your children may have a teachable spirit, and then you're able to share wisdom, God's wisdom, and their hearts are open to the Word of God, and they go, oh, wow. Man, that's great, Mom. Look at that. And it's such a joy to have a child that has a teachable spirit and then a wide open heart toward the things of God. But then there are other children that at the time being, maybe they don't. And so you share instruction, as the Bible talks, all the way through the book of Proverbs and all these months that we've been preaching out of Proverbs. It talks about instructing. Don't give up on your children just because they don't presently seem to be listening to what you have to say. Just help them to understand this is God's word. This is God's will. But if they have a teachable spirit, sharing God's wisdom with them. But now notice there in the last part of verse 26, it says, in her tongue is the law of kindness. The law of kindness, not the law of curtness. In other words, if you're a lady of God, your tongue will be a tongue of kindness. Mercy will be heard from your lips. Although you're firm in your administration of the house, you're never unkind in your words. Would you put a star beside that one? Although you're firm in the administration of your house, there's never unkindness in your lips. Now, if there is, immediately stop and ask the Lord to forgive you. Because unkind words, unkind lips can desperately hurt the hearts of the members of your family. He's simply saying, make sure that there's nothing there that can be tearing apart or that can be hurtful or harmful. Go back a couple of chapters to chapter 22, Proverbs chapter 22. Notice verse 11. Says he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. The grace of his lips. And I guess the question should be every day, Lord, did those around me hear your grace? Did they hear me speak words of grace? Now, grace is giving somebody something they don't deserve, right? Grace. Justice is what they deserve, but grace is giving them what they don't deserve. Mercy is withholding that which they do deserve. And so the Bible talks about the lips of grace. And so make it your prayer every day. Lord, I pray that the people around me, the people that hear me talk, will be able to say that they're edified when I have a conversation with them, that they're built up in the faith, that they're encouraged to take a stand for God and to walk strong with the Lord because of my conversation with them, because in her tongue is the law of kindness. That's her character life. Now notice her family life in verses 27 to 29. It says in verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household. She looks well to the ways of her household. It refers to the conduct of her children. In other words, she's looking at the habits of her children, at the attitudes and at the actions of her children. Because she is recognizing that this is her responsibility. Notice number three, she guides and corrects their speech. Guides and corrects their speech. These are some things that when we had boys at home that Ruth and I were constantly working on, because many times slang would be something that would be easily picked up, and often they did not understand the foundation of slang and what it was actually short words for other things. And so I've just given you a list of some things that we taught our boys. We said, boys, if you want your lips to be lips that are lips of praise and lips that are edifying others and glorifying the Lord, then be very careful about the slang that you use. She looks well to the ways of her household. Then notice number four there, she supervises all that occurs in her house. It says she eats not the bread of idleness. She's diligent. She teaches her children to be diligent and to know how to work and carry their load. The Hebrew translation for this is that she permits no one to eat the food of idleness. Nobody in the family. Now, I'm not talking about her husband, okay? I'm talking about the kids now. She doesn't permit them just to become lazy. That's what the expression is talking about. But she teaches her children how to be diligent and how to work and how to carry their load. Notice what I've said here. She assigns tasks equal to the age of each child. These, again, are some things that Ruth and I did with our boys when they were at home. You don't have to be very big to learn how to empty the garbage in your little room, or when you take your dirty clothes off, to take them to the clothes hamper, and then eventually to learn how to put toys back into the toy box. And we would have little boxes of toys. And so, they didn't just pull everything out. They'd pull something out and they'd play with that box. And then we'd try to teach them to put those toys back in, then pull this box out and empty that and play with those toys. And then when you're done, put all the toys back. Now, why are we doing that? Because we're teaching them character. We're teaching them discipline. We're teaching them responsibility. Besides, mom doesn't have the energy to do it. And all the moms said, amen. And mom shouldn't have to do it. It's something that little children can learn how to do, those kinds of things, because as they learn how to clean up their play area, they'll learn how to clean up their bedroom. Shall I park here? Notice what I've said here. She teaches them to clean their rooms, not just rearrange their mess. She teaches them how to clean their rooms. You see, orderliness, cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not in the Bible. That's just a good character trait. In other words, be orderly, be clean, be neat. And that doesn't mean just shove it all in the closet and shove it all underneath the bed. But mothers teach their children how to clean their room. Now, is that something that children just love to do? Talk to me. No. So you kind of have to minister unto them. You have to motivate them, right? You have to find out what they want. Then you say, okay, if you really want this, then this room needs to be clean. If you want to leave and you want to go play basketball with your friends, this room has to be clean. Whatever it takes. But you see, we are seeing a generation of folks that don't know responsibility. And then they go out and get a job, and because they don't understand responsibility, they either can't get a job or keep a job. And parents, that's our responsibility. That's our responsibility, to be teaching those kinds of things to our children. And so this is what it's talking about. I've written down the idea of putting limits on social media and TV and the internet. You know why? Because I think we need to be focusing more on reading and family interaction. Reading and family interaction, because readers are leaders. And sad to say, so many times our young people don't read a whole lot unless they're forced to. Encourage them to. We had a reading program for our boys. They could earn a used car if they read books, made reports on them, talked about the character traits that they were learning through those books, earned 1,800 points, 10 points for each book, earned 1,800 points, they got a used car. Now, what boy doesn't want a used car? And we simply told them, if you read well, then you'll ride well. If you don't, you'll walk, you know. And so they read, and all three of them earned a used car. And they became leaders. Readers are leaders. And so mothers, sometimes you kind of have to help them understand the importance of these things. Notice verse 28 then. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband praises her. We've already talked about that. But notice number two there. This is an evidence of maturity in the children and teenagers. Now listen, young people, listen very carefully. If you want to be considered mature, if you want to be considered someone that should have respect and some rights, you treat your mother with reverence and respect. And when you do, you will be showing extra maturity that will earn you freedoms that you have been wanting for a long time, but you've got to act with maturity. And this is one of the greatest ways you can do it, to respect your mom and show her how much you appreciate what she's doing. And when she asks you to help, don't mumble, don't grumble. Yes, ma'am. Jump right in with a right heart attitude, and I'll guarantee you, you'll have more rights and privileges than you can shake a stick at. Because your mom will fall over herself wanting to help you because you're wanting to help her and be a blessing to her. And so it says that we are to rise up and call her blessed, whether we be the husband or we be the children. Then it says in verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. And many of the commentators basically said it's simply referring to many women, because every woman is a daughter. And so it's simply talking about many women have done virtuously, but this particular woman has just risen above, taken the next step, shall we say, to accomplish the aspect of being virtuous, being godly, being loved, and being praised. So that's her family life. Let's notice lastly her spiritual life in verses 30 and 31. The Bible says, favor is deceitful because it is so temporary. So temporary. And how true that is, isn't it? Notice beauty is vain. Physical beauty is often empty of fulfillment and joy. Physical beauty is often so empty of fulfillment and joy. But notice what Crawford Toy said. He who judges a woman merely by her beauty may soon be disappointed in her character. You listening to me, young men? Don't judge a woman simply by her beauty. Look beyond her beauty and ask yourself, does she have character? Would she be a great mom to any children that God may give us? Does she have the character to be able to instill character in the hearts and lives of our children? Or is she just Miss America? Let me tell you guys, there's something more to marrying than just marrying Miss America. Because sometimes Miss America is high maintenance. Shall I continue? Character is what you're looking for. All right? So, but notice point number three. If you fear the Lord, you'll be praised. I like that. Do you see that in verse 30? Beauty, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. It doesn't say she may be praised. It doesn't say she might be praised. It says she shall be praised. Now notice, praised by whom? Well, first of all, it says in verse 31, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. She'll be praised by others that know her best. And ladies, if you determine that you want to be this kind of a virtuous woman, yes, God will praise you at the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be a great time. The Lord will be able to just say, well done, a good and faithful servant, and praise you. But even in today's society, you will be praised because these character qualities are so vitally necessary and so often missing. And because of that, when you have them, you will be lifted up and praised for having these character traits. All right, so notice then, praised in the city gates. I've shown you in the notes there that this is a place of legal actions, according to Deuteronomy chapter 21. It's a place of prophetic speeches, Jeremiah 17. It's a place to gather news and gossip, not that God wants you to. That's what happens there in the gates of the city. But notice number four, it's also a place of public praise. Go back to the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4. Just as soon as Ruth becomes the wife of Boaz, Boaz has bought her and her mother-in-law Naomi out of servitude, so to speak, and bought all the property that belonged to Naomi's husband back into the family. Now notice then in verse 11 what the people say after this happens. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thy house like Rachel and like Leah, which did build, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah," that word means fruitful, "and be famous in Bethlehem." And so you notice what they're saying? They're saying, let Ruth be the mother of children, talking about 12 children here specifically, the 12 tribes of Israel. And they're saying, let her be fruitful. Then notice verse 12, "And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman." They're saying to Boaz, may God bless you for what you have done, for your kindness and your thoughtfulness to this young woman, and may God give you children. And it's so neat to read verses 18 to 22, and you see that God answered that. And yes, they had a child, and that child became the grandfather of King David of Israel. And God tremendously blessed them. But what was happening? They were being praised in the gate. He was being praised for lifting these ladies out of servitude and out of poverty and being showing kindness to a Gentile young lady at that. And so he's being praised in the gate. This is what it's talking about in the last verse of Proverbs 31. You will be praised in the gate. It is a place of public praise. Notice then our notes, it says this: the lady of great character will be praised not for the nobleness of her ancestry, not because she comes from some great noble family, not for the fortune and wealth that she's received. You see that? Wasn't of her doing, she just received it. Not for her beauty, but rather praise her for her good works. Now, let me just pause and say this. If you're beautiful, praise God. But it's not something that you did. Amen? Because your beauty kind of fades. You do notice that, don't you? Right? You know? But what doesn't fade? It's the character that you develop. And that's what God is trying to teach us in this passage of Scripture. Praise her for her good works. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7 says, "The memory or the name of the just is blessed." The name or the memory of the just is blessed. Ladies, when it comes to the end of your life and when your funeral service is taking place, I trust that folks will be able to stand up and call you blessed, and your memory and your name will be just such a blessing to everyone who knew you because you decided, I'm going to develop this kind of character and be a blessing to other people around me. The name will be blessed. Now notice Revelation 14, verse 13. Let's turn there. As we come to the end of our message, Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Now I like the last part of the verse. And their works do follow them. Amen. Friends, when we come to the end of our lives, we'll lay it down. We'll rest. But your works will follow you. Now, is that true of works that are not so great? Yes. Works that are fantastic, works that are godly, works that are God-blessed, they will follow you, but the other works will follow you also. And it should be our prayer and should be our goal, Lord, every day. I pray that if today I pillow my head and never rise again, I pray that the works that follow me will be works that people are able to say, she drew me closer to God. Notice the last point. Proverbs ends with the same admonition it began with. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, fear the Lord. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 30, she that fears the Lord. You see, it's all in one book. There's so many principles, but they're all tied together. We have to fear God. That means just to love Him in such a way we don't want to hurt Him, we don't want to displease Him, we want to be honoring Him, and we want to say, Lord, somehow use my life so that I can be a blessing to other people. That's fearing God. Heavenly Father, I pray that we indeed will be people that seek to be a blessing to you first and foremost. And then, Father, as we do, may others be able to rise up and call us blessed, for we are your children called by your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Good night.